from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, man. Good morning.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
How do you do? Hey, man. Just want to talk about the boys in blue. Hey, man. How's Kansas City? Have you tried the barbecue? Hey, man. What's new in the clubhouse? The bullpen and the lineup, too. Hey, man. How was the road trip? Bob and Josh want to know. Hey, man. What do you think of Slugger and AM radio? Hey, man, is it true you're a deadhead too? Hey, man, kid baseball, wanna talk music with you? Hey, man, 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 hey, man.
It is Wednesday, our weekly interview with Royals Skipper Matt Cotrero. It is brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team, KC-based and female-owned. Century Roofing, centuryroofing.com. Matt Cotrero, welcome on to Fesco in the Morning. Sorry, that's a stumble. I have to ask you a question because last week before we had you on, Bob Fesco was...
Very nervous to talk to you,
yeah,
Q.
Bob couldn't even turn his microphone on. But no, Dusty Likens here. Damn glad to meet you again. Bob said last week he wanted to see Michael Massey in the start at the top of the lineup leading off. Miraculously, it happens the next day. No way that Bob Fesco spoke to you and got you to put this happening in the top of the lineup.
Well, I mean, rumor has it that Bob has connections higher up than me, and then they come down to me. So you have to look at it both ways. You're looking at it the easy way, that he influenced me, but sometimes he might influence other decision makers.
There you go. I like that. You're very good with that. I love Massey in the leadoff spot. I just felt like he was the next guy to get that opportunity. I don't know, man. I feel like, and this is my perception, and obviously it's wrong most of the time, but that's okay. I feel like he's a guy that just gets on base for you all the time. Like, he's always doing something, right?
Well, I think we're going to probably use that leadoff spot with not more matchup based. You know, Massey's not in there every single day at this point. Still, we're trying to be careful with his back and have him not play every day just because we want him to be in there as much as we can down the stretch. So it's a little, you know, fluctuating. Frazier's had a ton of those experiences in his career. Mikel's done a good job for us at times in that spot. You know, we're just going to have to play matchups and see how the rest of the lineup balances out as well. But you know, Massey provides, he can hit a home run. You know, he's getting some at-bats where he's taken some more pitches. And really, a lot is made out of who leads off, but really there's a leadoff hitter once in the game. Mm-hmm. The rest of the batting order is dictated by how we go. And it's almost being like the closer, right? A lot of attention is on that first part of the game. But a lot of things happen throughout the game that, you know, it's nice to have him there too, because if a couple guys get on at the bottom of the order, he can produce some runs for us. He can hit a double, hit a homer, whatever it is. So he's a versatile bat. It's just that one spot in the game is made a lot of, and maybe it shouldn't be as much.
You know, after he hit that home run yesterday, I started calling him Michael Massey. Are you ready to pick up on that one?
Oh, boy. See what you've done?
No.
I'll leave those to you. The nicknames, yeah, and that kind of stuff, obviously not my forte.
What was yesterday like, though, being the manager of a club that's in the middle of this thing with trades flying all over the place? Kind of just take us through your day yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of conversations. You know, JJ does a great job of keeping me in the loop of, you know, what they're thinking about, what could transpire. And then he calls and says, hey, if this happens, start thinking about, you know, the roster implications, those kinds of things. And then we discuss it with whoever, you know, if it involves the pitching, discuss it with those guys. If it involves the position players, discuss it with those guys. And then as the deadline approaches and the deals start to happen, then it's like, okay, now these are coming to fruition. We got to decide on this. And when are we going to talk to these guys? And when are we going to talk to those guys? And, you know, then making contact with the players that we acquired, you know, which was interesting with DeJong, because he just came over and met us in front of the dugout,
yeah,
and went and got his stuff and came back. So that was the first time I've been a part of one of those. So that was interesting.
That's a fun one, though. I always kind of like those. The guy's changing dugouts. He was just traded to the team he's playing right now, you know?
Yeah, I've seen it on TV before, yeah, you know, heard about it, but this was my first time experiencing it. And his first impressions were tremendous, just to the person he is, the selflessness, the experiences he has. He fits right in with the clubhouse, so that's really nice.
What do you have in mind for him? Because you look at the move, you're like, well, we got a shortstop. He's pretty good, and, you know, we got a third baseman who's out there playing pretty good ball, right? Like, so how do you envision using DeJong?
Well, I told him, I said, you know, we don't have a lot of reps at short here for you, yeah, you know, and that's, he understood. Like I said, he said, I'll do anything, you know. So the majority of his career has been at short. He's been playing third most of this month. He's played a little bit of second in the past. So we're gonna get him at third, and we're, you know, Mikel can jump to second at times, because like I said, Massey's not going to be in there every day. And then we'll start working him out. We started working him out at second yesterday to get him comfortable there. And then we'll see if he can, if he's never done it in his career, but if he can play a little bit of outfield, we'll see how that goes. You know, he's a really good athlete. He's a major league shortstop. So I don't have any doubt he could. It's just a matter of getting him comfortable before we do that. But more than anything, he provides power, right-handed power bat, whether he's in the lineup or on the bench.
Talking to you, Royal skipper McQuarrie, I thought this was interesting last night because I always get into my own head about baseball and football comparisons. I know in football, a lot of times you see the post-game videos of, you know, certain player gets a game ball. And last night I had to think that if you were that coach in the NFL and you did that sort of thing in baseball, Vance Wilson get the game ball last night?
Wow, what a great read. You know, and Vance takes a lot of pride in understanding game situations. He's been around the game a long time. But that's the one as a third base coach you kind of wait for, you know, like just taking advantage of the situation, understanding the gravity of it. And credit to Bobby, obviously, because you can't send the guy unless he gives you a chance to send him. And Bobby doesn't ever take anything for granted and was going hard the whole way. As soon as that throw was headed to the second, he waved him in. Bobby, you know, no throw to the plate, and turned out to be a huge run for us. And those are the kinds of things we have to do. We have to take the extra base. You know, we have to force the issue a little bit. And Vinny going hard and trying to make it a double helped make that happen. So, you know, Vance thinks through those things ahead of time, but yeah, he would have gotten a game ball for that for sure.
You know, a lot of people are comparing it to Kane scoring from first in the postseason to 2015 and, you know, kind of, you know, Bautista taking a lackadaisical approach, you know, to that ball. That's something that you guys prepare for, obviously, ahead of time, and know that if we get into this situation, we have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I can tell you, it's much more rare to have it happen in left field than right field.
Right.
The one in right field, the third base coach can get further down the line. You know, the play in at third, you know, being cut off and rerouted to tag a guy at third is much less likely when the ball's in right field. So, you know, Vance has to be closer to third when the ball's in left. Regardless, yeah, and in Kauffman Stadium, it's so big, you know, that you'll see that happen a little more often in a bigger park. Chicago, smaller park, less room out there for those, less time for those things to materialize. But yeah, we do have to take advantage of them, and we have to be able to not let other teams do that to us.
Yeah, another guy you guys were able to pick up is Lorenzen, and putting him into the rotation potentially. Maybe that gives you the opportunity to put Marsh in the bullpen. I'm just kind of spitballing here at some possibilities that I think could work for this organization. What is your plan with Lorenzen?
Yeah, it's a really, really fluid situation still. You know, he doesn't get here until tonight or tomorrow morning. So we're still really honestly working through that. There are a lot of considerations, and I don't have a good answer for you yet, but we will in a couple days.
Is there something you want to see happen that I can make a phone call on and maybe get those wheels in motion like with Massey? Or
thanks for enhancing the ego.
Why don't you just tell me, and then that way I'll be able to be ready for it.
Okay, let's put him into the rotation then. Let's go. Let's see. But like, that's the thing though now, Skip, is like you've got options, right? You've got a lot of pitchers out there that can do a lot of different things for you at this point in time. And I know everybody wants defined roles. But the older I get, the less I'm like, whatever happens, happens. You know, let's see what this guy can do. Let's see what that guy can do. Let's worry about defined roles once we get to October. And you've got the luxury now of 2 months trying to kind of define those roles. So when October rolls around, you guys are ready to roll.
Well, it also created some depth for us because, as you saw the other day, in one inning, we lost Schreiber and Harvey.
Yeah.
You know, Harvey is back already, but you know, that's how fragile this is. You know, something can happen at the drop of a hat. And now adding Lorenzen, adding Ursig, that gives us depth. It gives us quality depth. And a guy like Lorenzen, he can do both. He can start, he can relieve. He's been in the postseason. You know, he fits exactly the same kind of mold of the guys that we brought in the offseason that have reaped a lot of rewards for. So it's exciting.
Bob also said he's going to talk to Rob Manfred to see if we can get the White Sox on the schedule for 20 extra games in the future. Other than that, I want to bring this up because this team seems to continuously fight. 29 come from behind wins. that's got to be something where you can sit back and just look and say to yourself, you know what, this team is never out of it, no matter what the lead is, no matter where they're at in the game. And a lot of it is generated by Bobby Witt Jr., who's just been on a different sort of planet in the month of July, maybe the entire year. But also, how contagious is that, that you can see that it happens one night, the next night somebody else wants to be that guy? And, you know, last night it was Vinny, the night before it was Bobby, and it just keeps continuing coming from behind in these victories.
Well, you need contributions from the whole team. That's how we're built. You know, Bobby gets rightfully so, gets a ton of attention for his production. But you look at up and down the lineup, we need everyone to produce. We also, you know, you don't make comebacks. You don't get the opportunity to come back without a pitching staff that keeps you in the game. Because if you score and they're allowing the other team to score, you just keep chasing your tail. And that's the hallmark of a good team, is limiting the other team's damage so that your offense has a chance to come back. And, you know, it's like a fight every night. You know, you don't always get out to a lead and just comfortably go the rest of the way. I mean, you're going to get punched in the gut, and you got to be able to withstand it, and you got to be able to fight back, because it doesn't feel good to get behind. It doesn't feel good to have to chase a bigger number. But these guys don't give up. It's one run at a time. Let's give ourselves a chance to get back into it and see what happens later. Clearly, it doesn't always work out that way. But if you keep that mentality that it's one pitch, one inning at a time, you give yourself a lot better chance.
Am I the only one who just loves watching Bobby Witt on the bases? Like, I know this is an extreme comparison, but it's like when I watch Patrick Mahomes on offense at quarterback, I know something is about to happen that maybe I've never seen, something that's going to be awesome, something that's going to be fabulous. I feel like when Bobby gets on the bases, that's the same way I'm watching. I've never watched a guy run the bases like I'm watching this guy before.
Well, good for you. I like that idea. I like that something fabulous and awesome is going to happen every time he gets out there. But, you know, and truthfully, I feel that way about a bunch of our guys. You know, Mikel makes things happen. Blanco makes things happen. Izzy makes things happen. Frazier, you know, these guys, that is a hallmark of our team. These guys they take pride in it, because sometimes you can get on base and just kind of wait. All right, somebody's going to have to hit the double for me to score, whatever. These guys are looking for opportunities to force the issue, to make things happen. Now, they run well. That's an obvious help in the situation. But not all fast guys are good base runners, and our guys take pride in both.
Who's in the lineup today? You going with a normal lineup in this afternoon tilt against the White Sox?
Well, today's the day. You know, we're not pushing Massey to four in a row, so DeJong will be in there, and Mikel will play second. So other than that, it's pretty regular.
Pretty regular lineup. Good. All right, let's go with the baseball card game. Are you ready on this one? Because I think this one you're going to get, and you're going to drop the mic and walk off a winner, all right?
You always try to set me up here.
Well, if you get this one wrong, you're fired, okay? I'll just say it that way.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We've got ourselves a 1989 score featuring George Brett.
Okay. All right. I think I can get that one.
You got that one? What team?
I think I got the Royals, yeah.
There you go. See how I set you up, how easy that was, right?
All right.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys.
That there was. It is, Matty Q.
Matty Q. He seemed in good spirits today.
How could you not be?
I was going to say, like, it's contagious.
Yeah, your team was just reinforced. You took all of my ideas and they're working. Mm-hmm. And you're winning baseball games against the White Sox right now. So you got a day game in Chicago, and you're headed to Detroit for a 4-game series against the Tigers.
And he gave us some breaking news. Michael Massey not in the lineup.
Not in the lineup.
And DeYoung's going to play today.
Yeah, DeYoung's going to get out there and play today.
Guess
so
where he's
cool.
Probably going to hit.
Lead off. Yeah, let's do it, baby.
Right.
Let's do it. Yeah. Really good conversation with the skipper. Always love to get his insight. And as we get closer and closer to the postseason, man, those conversations are going to be more fun and more fun and more fun, because we're going to be talking about playoff baseball.
Yep. The Royals are on the come.
Mm-hmm.
And that was brought to you by Century Roofing, your hometown roofing team, KC-based and female-owned. Century Roofing at CenturyRoofing.com. Back into some Chiefs stuff on the other side, and then it's all heavy Royals as we end this show. It's already almost over. It's 9:15, 9:16. That's Mac Morey, Bob Fescom, Dusty Likens. We'll see you on the other side on 610 Sports Radio. Time flies when you're having fun. Fescom in the morning. Just about 30 minutes left, then Cody and Gold until noon, then Vern takes over, then the Royals go for the sweep with Brady Singer on the bump. First pitch, 110, or the slab, going out there to shove. Fesco of the Morning, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors in Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Fellas, been a good Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good tunes we've heard today.
Who's this one for?
This is Way Back Wednesday. Text in your song and your name, and Mac will do the rest. Mac?
This is the White Stripes. We are going to be friends. Ben in Iowa.
There we go, Ben. Good song.
So we've had Galveston, Iowa.
Green Bay.
Yep.
Man. Shawnee.
Null.
Name the movie.
This song? No clue.
Boy, really? I would say Mac probably doesn't know, because I don't know if Mac was alive when this movie came out.
Oh, I had a guess, and this ruins my guess. Never mind.
Well, go ahead and guess.
Juno?
No.
Feels like a Juno vibe.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cool.
Wow.
Get your own tater tots. Gosh.
You want to get Uncle Rico on? We can do that anytime.
Yeah, just not Kevin James.
No.
Dang it. Camp returns to Wednesday practice. Hollywood Brown, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Chris Jones, and Jalen Watson.
Watson! Yes!
To practice
all
today.
Returning to practice. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God. I was losing sleep.
Right, yeah. They're they're bringing them back for the practice today. But one of the big sort of, not big, but one of the things that we have seen looming on the horizon of the Chiefs, which it seems every year when you're in this wave of being dominant and being a, you know, top of the league franchise conglomerate of winning, you've got to make big decisions. And the four big decisions that the Chiefs look at moving forward, next chapter, are four signings of Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Nick Bolton, and one Harrison Butker. Bob, you saw some stuff yesterday. Obviously, you told Coach Q about everything that you have the power of being
invested in. Yep.
The two signings that we saw yesterday.
I like the fact that he gives me that credit. Like, I got like some sort of like wand I'm waving out here.
Hard to breathe in here with the ego that has been expanded.
Yeah. Yours.
Oh, come on. Humble guy. But two guys that popped up yesterday that made a little bit of interest, which was Creed Humphrey and Harrison Butker as the two guys that looked to be signed first out of the four of the next wave.
Well, yeah, which is, you know, good. I mean, Harrison Butker is the best kicker we've ever had in franchise history and arguably the best in the NFL. I mean, obviously Justin Tucker is still out there, so I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But you got to have a reliable kicker. And so if the conversations are with Harrison Butker, which I know they are, they are having conversations with both Creed and Harrison Butker. They're not near the finish line yet, obviously. And when you think you're getting to the finish line, we've seen things change. Chris Jones, I think, is still kind of fresh in everybody's mind.
Right,
where,
yeah.
Hey, we thought this time last year Jones would have already been signed, move on to L'Jarius Sneed, but here we sit, right? So nothing is done until it's done. But they are, I can tell you, in fact, in talks with both Butker and Creed. And I think that's good, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's good that you're in conversations with your guys that are basically homegrown. I know Butker was plucked off a practice squad, but let's not get into semantics here, right?
Sure.
But Creed is going to be interesting because the MO with center since Andy Reid has got here, whether it's Rodney Hudson or Mitch Morris, is I think Rodney was already here. So he was here, his contract ended, you moved on. And he went on to play another decade with the Raiders. So it wasn't like you moved on because he was no good. Same with Mitch Morris, right? His contract, they drafted him, his contract ended, you moved on from him. He went on and had a great career with Buffalo, right? And now Creed Humphrey, he's getting ready to come up to the end of his contract. But it looks like they're saying, yeah, you know what? We want to keep Creed Humphrey here. We value him and think he's one of the best in the game. So we're going to, you know, try to get a deal done with Creed Humphrey. I just hope it doesn't impact Trey Smith, who I feel is going to get a payday from somebody, whether it's your team or my team or that team or this team. You know, I think Trey Smith is in for a big payday somewhere, which then factors in Joe Tooney, and then Hunter Norzad. Isn't Norzad what they use to track Santa, right? And so I did a deep dive on Norzad the other day because. And I was like, what is this guy all about, right? This
wife must have been out shopping.
Yeah, actually, they were at the mall yesterday.
There you go. There's the Norzad rabbit hole.
Yeah, there's the Norzad rabbit hole.
What are you going to do for 2 hours?
Well, I got a dentist at 3. So Norzad. Let's go down the rabbit hole of Norzad. I'm like, who's this guy, right? The guy has played every position on the offensive line in college, right? He he was a tackle at, what did I say, the Citadel or Colgate or Holy Cross or one of them schools. They're all blend together. So he played right tackle there. Then he transferred to Penn State and played guard and center. So this guy's got like a resume, and I'm like, okay, they're probably not going to bring Joe Tooney back after this year, right? Okay. So maybe Norzad goes there. I think they still want to get a deal done with Trey Smith. I think Trey wants to be here. Why'd you want to be anywhere else if you're an offensive player in the NFL, right?
Right.
So hopefully they can get a deal done with him. But I would look at like that. The Norzad pick is a very interesting one to me because he falls in line with the drafting a year ahead, you know? And so they believe that I would guess that either Trey or Tooney or a combination of both are probably not going to be here next year, and this may be your next guy on the table. So he's an interesting one to watch. I think it's going to be interesting to see if they just let Joe Tooney go after this season because his contract is up and they slide Hunter Norzad in there. Can he handle it? Can he do it? Be interesting to see what kind of opportunity he truly gets this year playing, you know, for this organization.
It's interesting, too, when you talk about like the utility style of play, because if you don't sign, you know, Creed, which I think they're going to do, I think he'll be the highest paid center in football, well-deserved. You could plug him in there. If you don't sign Trey, you got him there. Tooney, obviously, as well. You plug him in there. And you, again, go back and look at the tea leaves of Brett Veach. Drafts for the next year. He's always two steps ahead. This is one of those moves that kind of...
But you're going to need a right tackle next year, too. Is Norzad a guy who goes back to his roots at Crest and decides he's going to go out there and play right tackle? I don't know.
There's a good chance. I'm not sure.
I don't know if he's capable of doing that in the NFL. They view him more as an interior lineman. I haven't really got into the weeds about Hunter Norzad know, with the organization. There's other pressing issues, but I don't know. Just like from a geeky offensive line standpoint, I'm interested to see what they do with him and where he ultimately ends up, because I always now look at drafts and go, okay, where does this guy fit next year as opposed to this year?
Fair enough. Coming up on the other side, a national perspective of what the Royals are doing. We'll be joined by one Doug Glanville of ESPN. When we come back, you're listening to Fesco in the Morning. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Damn glad to have you on 610 Sports Radio.
I also know this one as well. Way back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. You text in a song and your name. Mac will do the rest. Mac, where's this one come from?
This comes from Howie in Lee Summit. This is Bruce Hornsby in the Range.
That's right.
Mandolin Rain.
Mandolin Rain, baby. Valley, nice song.
Valley Road, another good one. I don't know if it's walk-up music, but let's go right to the phone lines as we are joined by Doug Glanville of ESPN, baseball analyst. Doug, how are you on this wonderful Wednesday?
I'm doing great, man. You just took me to my man Rex Hudler. That was his guy, Bruce Hornsby, and he did a couple charity events. And fundraising, and when I remember playing with Rex in Philly, so a lot of good memories. So great track.
Did Rex eat anything weird when you were playing with him? Because I know he's eaten bugs and things like that over the years.
Rex was legendary, man. He did it all, and he just kept us smiling and appreciative every single day. He was so grateful, happy to be there. And by the way, very talented. You know, he could run. He got some pop. And just a joy. It was a pleasure to play with him and still call him a friend.
Yeah, like as a teammate, I can imagine Rex was that guy. Like, everybody's sitting around, things aren't good, and Rex does something funny to kind of lighten the mood and make everybody feel better, right?
Oh, all the time. He just had his phrases too. Like when, you know, like a rally, when someone would hit a home run, he's like, "Pilot to Bombardier, pilot to Bombardier." He was just running around. So whether he was playing or not, he was always pulling for us, pulling for his teammates, and just kept the joy. But yeah, he just, you know, high energy and I learned a lot from Rex. It was really great to play with him.
Is that the most unique teammate you've ever had, Doug Glanville?
You know, top three, definitely top three. He may be one. I have to think about a little bit, but yeah, he walked his own beat. But I think it's just joy. You know, like, I think he wanted to spread joy. I think, and that was a big thing. And when you're playing every day, yeah, you love to be there. You're fortunate to be there. But you know, you play 162 games year in, year out, and it's August, and you're 25 games out. You know, you need perspective, and Rex was always there. Just showed you that. You're waking up every day. That's, you have to appreciate that. And part of your kind of mission is to spread joy to others and to share in that life. I think he completely accomplished that. So I'm glad he's part of the KC family, but he remains a great friend.
Something that's been kind of amazing to watch, and I'm sure that you're locked in on it too, is the month of July that one Bobby Witt Jr. has had. Doug Glanville, is this one of the most impressive performances you've ever seen? Because he's doing things in the statistics lines that a lot of people that have, since this game has been around, has never done, and Bobby Witt Jr. just continues to answer the call night in and night out.
I mean, like I said, jaw-dropping, man. I mean, every year, I go back to him being my MVP pick. It's going to be tough to beat Aaron Judge, but you know, you need like a Babe Ruthian season to quote outperform, if you want to use that word, Bobby Witt. And I told a story that I mentioned on when I was on ESPN during the All-Star game. And first of all, since the All-Star game, he's just like taken it another level, if that was even possible. But one of the stories I told was that when I first heard about Witt and sort of watched his numbers, I kind of saw his numbers first, and I was like, wow, this guy's sprint speed and his speed around the bases is so legendary. I was thinking he had to be a lefty. And I had it in my mind, he's a lefty and a switch hitter, just because, like, before I really even saw him. And I still, like, fall into that. And it's only because of the credit of how fast this dude is, right? Like, you know, Cubs series, the guy hits a ball to left center, shallow left center, brick wall, comes right back to the outfielder, and he's on third. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, how are you this fast? And then you add all this other stuff to what he's doing, from the right side, by the way, the power, the speed, the defense, the improvement, and the fact that he's just embracing Kansas City. I saw he broke out in a sort of charity event going to the field. And I mean, this guy is you know, you absolutely build a franchise around him, not just because of his talent, but all the other intangibles that he brings.
Talking with Doug Glanville of ESPN here on 610 Sports Radio. And you know, you mentioned Aaron Judge still is the lead for that MVP. Like, why? Because he plays in New York? Is it because of the home runs? Like, what can Bobby do to get that MVP award?
Well, it's a fair question. And it's, you know, I don't have a vote in this. You know, I tend to lean towards players that do everything. When you're just great at everything, how are you not most valuable? Because you're playing defense. You're playing defense at a skill position, right? Shortstop. You're doing all these things that are just dominant, right? You're not talking about like, oh, he's doing okay, and this guy, everything he does. So I think there was a little unfairness, but it's like, it's the Judge. Like, okay, watching Aaron Judge doing some of the games recently, is he is the most dangerous hitter in baseball right now. Like, when you talk about danger, home run, walk this guy, like, it's the danger factor. Mm-hmm. And it is because of literally, if you throw a ball in the zone, it's gone. Like, it's unbelievable how he doesn't miss anything, like anything. And we're not talking about anything base hit, anything damage. And he doesn't swing at anything either. Like, how does this guy, like, go from 25% strikeout rate, and the second half he's like 15? Like, how do you actually get better off of what he had already done? So I think that's the uphill climb for Bobby Witt Jr., not that, you know, he's not necessarily out to be like, I got to win MVP. But I think first of all, his average keeps going up. And if you're already at 347, I don't know how you keep going up is the way he's doing it. But I think if he continues to do what he's doing, it's going to be a tough vote. And then you're going to have to challenge the voters to say, is this just sort of New York getting into the postseason, or what is this? Because it's a fair question to ask. Although the Royals are really good, and I really like the moves they made at the trade deadline.
Yeah, let's discuss some of those. And part of the reason we brought you on, Doug Glanville, to talk about that. Like, what do you think of what they did at the deadline? I just really like the fact that they addressed areas of need, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, JJ, I mean, I appreciate him. He came on our podcast like a month ago, and, you know, I just love how he thinks. You know, I just think he looks at it in an organizational way, but it's like a philosophy that he tries to get to flow through the entire organization and really wants to make sure players buy in. I just like how he has those hands-on approaches to it. And so when he was talking to us, he kind of broke down some of the philosophies, very educational. So I encourage you to check it out. It was a Starkville podcast like a month ago. But I think watching him now follow through at the trade deadline, you know, getting like Lucas, you know, Urshid or someone who, first of all, an arm like this, right? You get someone who's throwing 98, 99 miles an hour with a great slider, and you're saying, I need these bullpen pieces. You know, Paul is a young kind of figure. You know, you kind of, it's all about these accent pieces. It's not necessarily like, let me just get the, you know, guy who's going to make $200 million next year. That's what I like. It's just these pieces. And, you know, that's all you need. Sometimes it is just that player, that guy that just fits and kind of does his part because you have all these other parts that are in place that are working well.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's yesterday. It wasn't like a who's who of names, you know, of guys that they added, like, for the casual baseball fan. But they added guys, as you mentioned, that can be pieces. And if the Royals get to where everybody in Kansas City wants them to go into the postseason, I'm sure we'll be looking back at some of these guys that they acquired around the deadline and go, hey, that's a big reason why they were able to make it there. Where would we be without so-and-so? You know how it works at the end of the year, Doug.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, like, when you objectively look at the Royals, you're in a short series, you're like, do I want to face this rotation? It's like, that's not fun. You know, Michael Lorenzen, by the way, you know, guy's tough, man. He's just, like, fearless. And he'll throw any pitch in any situation. And when he gets kind of locked in that zone, he works quick. You know, he's a super athlete. Depth. So I'm not sure, like, anybody sitting there going, yeah, let's face the Royals in the postseason, because, well, first they have Witt, who's probably going to go another level, but it's also just their pitching, adding those pieces and having, like, the depth of starters that you can kind of, you know, there's no day off, so to speak, in that rotation. So, I mean, it's exciting. And I think you have a guy like Witt Jr., who's, he just kind of keeps elevating his game. And then as a young player starts to, you know, be in this leadership role with Sal Perez, and that rubs off. And when you have a great player, Terry Francona said this to us at once, he said, when you have a great player that embodies the way we're trying to approach the game, then you get the message across, right? It's one thing, it's like, hey, everybody play hard, but I'm going to ignore that this guy's not running the ball out because he's a superstar. Like Jose Ramirez runs every single ball out. He plays hard every pitch. Bobby Witt Jr., who, you know, could chill, certainly, you know, he's paid to eternity as he deserves. But the fact is, he embodies it on the field, and he wants to be there. He wants to carry the torch. He wants to be a Royal forever. And I just think that it makes it your manager's job so much easier.
When you look at the playoff picture as of right now, obviously the Guardians, Orioles, Mariners lead their division. Yankees, Twins, Royals are the three teams in the wild card. Where do you rank the Royals as your least most wanted team to play if the playoffs started today?
That's a good question there.
Thank you.
I mean, as I mentioned, with their pitch and just it getting stronger on the rotation side, it's a little scary to face the Royals because of just that fact. Look, they're a team that run prevents, and I kind of dug up some of the team rankings. So I love to geek out when I do into these research, right? So if I describe the Royals, I say this is a team that defends, like run prevents, fantastic defense, and they have very good positional understanding, like where they play on the field. Fascinating about one metric, like outs above average, where they're like second in baseball, it's heavily weighted against right-handed batters, which I found fascinating. Like they're really good strategically at like neutralizing people hitting from the right side, maybe because Bobby Witt's over there, you know, or he can be over there based on all the shifts and everything like that. Uh-huh. Right. So they keep the ball in the ballpark, right? The Royals pitching, they don't give up home runs. Their starters, nobody. So that's kind of fascinating because you don't get the big inning. You have to beat the Royals by singling them to death, and then you have to single them to death on a team that catches everything. That's a nightmare, right? And then you talk about they cut out the running game, can't run on them. So you can't, like, take the single and turn it into a double because you can't run on Perez or anybody else. And they're a team that puts the ball in play. That's a really tough team. It takes me a little bit back to 2015. I want to throw out there, you know, World Series and all these things, but I just think that they have so much upside when they just prevent runs. And it's always notable when you look at, like, their run differential, right? Plus 75, that's seventh in baseball. But they're actually 10th in runs per game. So that just tells you right there, they just keep runs off the board. You know, they just keep runs off the board. And so, yeah, a guy like DeJong or some other pieces, like, give you the right-handed bat, a little power, I don't think they need a lot. And so, I don't know, they're an exciting team. So where do they rank? Yeah, they're a team that you have to be really careful to play because you're going to have a lot of trouble scoring runs.
Do you think they get into the playoffs?
I think they get in the playoffs. Man. I do. I love these moves. I love these moves. I've watched Lorenzen for a while. I've watched a lot of these guys. And I think they can get in. And, you know, the Guardians are tough. And you know, different kind of game they play, but they're reachable. You know, they're reachable just like anybody else. And you mentioned the Mariners really struggling with offense, can't put up a lot of runs, very good pitching. You know, there's teams in front or in their mix that have like glaring weaknesses. And so, yeah, there's an X factor, sure, of just playing and being healthy. But Royals are a lot of fun. They're a very good team.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Well, we appreciate it, Doug. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You got it. That is Doug Glanville of ESPN, thinking the Royals are going to the playoffs. Loves the move that they make. If you're, again, a fence sitter on what they did over the last couple of days, there's a guy who's paid to analyze the game, that's played the game, that knows these players, and he's stoked about it, and he has no reason to be excited. He's not a Royals fan, right?
And openly admitted that he geeks out on stats, so I would assume that he's a credible source. I do like this text. Doug Glanville is one of those name/dudes where you just always say his first and last name when you mention him.
Yeah.
I remember, that's how I know I'm getting older. I remember Doug Glanville playing baseball.
Playing baseball, yeah, of course, yeah.
That's where I've gotten to my point where, like, remember when the Blue Jays drafted all the kids, like Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio? I was like, watched all three of their dads play.
That's right.
It's like,
and it felt like yesterday that you just watched all of their dads play, right?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that he said, when I asked him about the Royals and a team that you would, where they would rank in a team you would want to play, and basically it sounds like top two teams, you know, like obviously people be like, oh, I don't want to play the Yankees. I don't want to go to the, you know, their house and the short porches. But like,
I mean, Gerrit Cole just skipped the start yesterday with general body fatigue. You think that guy's tough enough to pitch in the postseason when it matters?
Wasn't he out for like half the season?
Yes. Okay. Yes. The man sat out with general body fatigue yesterday. And the Yankees had to call up a guy from the minors, right? And so they were playing in Philly. Their minor league is in, like, Scranton, which isn't far. So they call this guy up yesterday, whatever his name is. It doesn't matter.
Never heard of him.
And he wakes up on an idle Tuesday, and he gets a phone call, right? And he's like, you're pitching tonight. Yeah, okay, fine. No, like, in Philadelphia, you need to get your ass here. So this guy, like, probably, you know, Ubers to Philly, you know, gets there, and he all of a sudden, now he's on the big league because your starting pitcher, Gerrit Cole, has general body fatigue. Really? We're getting ready to head into the playoffs. You are going to count on a guy who sits out a start against the best team in baseball with general body fatigue? Give me the Royals any day of the week. They got more guts than Gerrit Cole's ever had.
Sounds like a general piss, baby.
I mean, like, general body fatigue. That's why you sat out of a start. And this guy came in. The Yankees ended up winning. Good for them. But his first big league strikeout, Bryce Harper. That's pretty cool.
That's my guy right there.
Isn't that pretty cool, though? Like, who was your, like, I love Bryce Harper. Josh and I years ago talked to him, and that could have been better. It was awesome. Bryce Harper, that's your first big league strikeout. That's something you'll always remember, though, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Text line chimes in. Next time I call into work for a day off, I'm going to tell my boss I have general body fatigue.
Look, it worked. I mean, the guy got to miss a start in the big leagues. Big time start.
Getting paid a lot of money.
So the original point is, like, am I taking the Yankees or the Royals? The Royals have more balls than the Yankees do. You know, like, they're going to go out there and they're going to want it more. They're going to have a general body. Like, Gerrit Cole is the poster boy for everything that is wrong with baseball players.
Yeah, I would just love to see ALCS, Yankees, Royals, Bobby versus Aaron Judge. I might not be able to stand up just thinking about it right now.
Right.
Because then what happens? Then we get to see on the stage, because somebody texts in, oh, he plays in New York. Look at his stat line. I know what Aaron Judge is.
We know
is
what
doing.
His stats are.
I know what his stat line is. I know the home runs, the RBI.
I don't care about
RBI,
his stat lines.
I'm talking about when you look at it, and we can end the show on this because we're running out of time, and Alex is going to come bolting through that door here in about 5 minutes. When you look at most valuable player, and we talk about the award, right? Bobby Witt Jr. has not missed a game. Aaron Judge has missed a game. That's not the stat that we're looking at. But last night, the Royals won that game because they had Bobby Witt Jr.
That's right.
He got the game-tying single, and then he scored what would eventually be the game-winning run because they gave up a run in the bottom of the eighth to make it 4-3. It was 4-2. Bobby Witt Jr., with his speed, his base path knowledge, and the trust in Vance Wilson, they won that game because of him. The night before, they won the game because he hit a grand slam in the eighth inning. They've won multiple games because of Bobby Witt Jr., and I promise you,
I know of two. They don't have 29 comeback from behind wins. They don't have 59 wins.
They don't win the last two nights without Bobby Witt Jr. They lose to the White Sox, guys.
And they don't win 59 games already this year if they don't have Bobby Witt Jr. Are the Yankees a playoff team without Aaron Judge? Yes, because they would have gone out and paid for a bat. They just went and got Jazz Chisholm. Has got like three home runs in two games, dude. New face, new place sometimes works.
Good Lord.
Whatever it is.
What a pickup.
Good for him. But the Yankees would have done other things to make sure that they were still winning. Plus, Juan Soto's in that lineup. Rizzo's in that lineup. They have the pitching staff with that lineup. Everything the Yankees have is the opposite of what the Royals have. And the Royals have Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, and Bobby Witt Jr. The only two people that the Yankees fan base and the Yankees city of media knows is Sal Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. And yes, their pitching's great, but Bobby Witt Jr. is the most valuable player to his team, which means he's the most valuable player in this league because of what he provides defensively, also helped win the game two nights ago, what he provides on the base path, won the game last night, and what he provides in that locker room that you heard Doug Glanville say, when somebody's a superstar, it makes everybody say, well, that's the best player in the baseball league. I want to keep doing what he's doing because it's contagious. So you can take your Aaron Judge take and you can think that he's the MVP because you get so many home runs and RBIs, but does he do it for his team as a whole, as a five-tool player? The answer is no. Bobby Witt Jr. is definitely my league MVP.
And I think having Bobby Witt Jr. in the playoffs this year is going to open so many people's eyes to Bobby Witt Jr. Like, I almost want the Royals to make the playoffs just so the rest of the world can be experienced and see what Bobby Witt Jr. is all about and have his kind of coming out party where people know he is the best player in baseball.
From the 816, I have general booty fatigue every damn day. Grow up, Garrett.
Yeah. I mean, Garrett Cole is just like he's the guy during, you know, COVID when they were trying to get back to playing baseball. I'm sure Garrett Cole, like, he was the one that whined about the pine tar and all this kind of stuff. Like, Garrett Cole over the years has whined about a lot of things, right? Like, I feel like he was the guy, but it was Blake Snell that goes, I'm risking my life, bro.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, general body fatigue.
That's what it is.
Okay. Tell that to the average American who's busted their hump every day.
Go do something nice for somebody today. It's cool to care. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. For Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, I'm Dusty Likens. Damn glad to have you on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold, they're next for 2 hours on 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.